midfield, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio.
Oh, we got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown!
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fights and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Hope you're having a great football Thursday and happy you're with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, a full hour of Browns talk and NFL talk. Joining us tonight will be Alex Marvitz from FoxSports.com, one of their fine NFL analysts. Alex will be on the line with us from Philly. He's down there for setting up for the big NFC East matchup between the Cowboys and Eagles on Sunday. Great storylines between those teams. We'll ask Alex about those, but we will get his Browns thoughts for sure. And I know he's got some strong opinions about this football team, the whole situation at 2-7. We'll also gather with ClevelandBrowns.com staff writer, my good buddy Matt Plojancic. When Matt comes aboard, we like to break down some numbers. Going to tear into some of the numbers that tell the story of what this Browns team has done. Some of them, more or less, when you look through them, pour over them, defy where this team is at 2-7. Some of them say that the record should be better. I think some of our impressions of how this team has played tell us that, but that isn't what the case is. The record's 2-7. But Matt and I will go through those and, you know, and conclude whatever we can conclude for your sake. Mohamed Massaquah, going to hear from him, came back to the lineup, was still kind of hurting last week against the Ravens, had that hamstring issue. I'm sure he's looking forward to the rest that he's getting this weekend, the rest that the entire team is getting through this bye. Jameer Howerton from our staff caught up with Mohamed, so we'll hear a little bit from him on the show as well. And we always hear from you, your questions, your comments, the ones that you submit to the Browns official Facebook, Twitter pages. We love when you visit our Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford Twitter page, which is Browns_daily. And you email us daily at clevelandbrowns.com, and you call us 855-363-DAILY, 855-363-2459. And we will, if you're interested, we'll put your questions and comments, your voice with those on the air. The best ones. Edward from Facebook, I just thought this was kind of a fun one. He says, the Browns would be a great team, if they ever got any cheerleaders. Yep, that's what they've been missing. That's the solution. If it isn't the uniforms, we've had the request for, of course, always the hue and cry for something other than white uniforms. So we've gotten brown jerseys a couple of times this year. No real magic in that. 1-1 is the record with that. Or one and I'm sorry, was it 1-2 now? Is the record with that. And what was the other one? Oh, yeah, orange pants. Orange pants would be the other magic formula. Cheerleaders for the Browns. I have absolutely no problem with cheerleaders' presence in the NFL. You know, I think it does add to the whole entertainment value thing. It's just hard to think about the Browns, the tradition, teams like the Browns, teams like the Steelers, Giants, that have gone all this time without cheerleaders and or mascots, except for the Browns. We have Chomps. And then seeing that there now, could that change with new ownership? Could the perspective that Jimmy Haslam and his marketing acumen, his dynamic sales acumen, Joe Banner, coming from Philadelphia, where there were cheerleaders, and knowing over many years he spent there with that football team, of seeing how that worked out with, you know, enhancing, I guess, the game day experience. So new perspectives, new thoughts and attitudes from two people from two different places, right? Haslam coming from Knoxville, Tennessee, from that whole collegiate atmosphere of football, which always has cheerleaders, we know that. And then more of the NFL-style entertainment-level cheerleaders that you had in Philly, with Joe Banner. It'll be interesting to see if that is a perspective that changes things for the Browns. A lot of people speculate that, you know, uniforms and again, the sundry, the stuff, the periphery, the stuff that just sort of speaks to the entertainment of the game could be affected by this. And maybe it will. I know of nothing specific in the works, but I know the new team that is running the team is just digging in. Ben from Facebook, referencing last week's game against the Ravens, he says, poor game management by Brandon Whedon, making poor decisions and not seeing the field, afraid to throw it downfield. You know, Ben, I thought, for the reasons that we've talked about this being one of his worst games, or his second worst game, I guess, after the Philadelphia game, and what was happening to him, there was certainly a lot of hesitation. There was a sense that he did not have a comfortable feel for what he was seeing. And I think some of that is due to what the Ravens were doing defensively, not all of it. And it wasn't all about Ed Reed either. I mean, Ed Reed was part of the equation, but there were some issues that I saw. You take that second and third look at the game when you're just looking at tape, and you start seeing some things that you didn't see the first couple of times. And I was looking for specific instances where, say, an Ed Reed was in the picture, and whether that just sort of had Brandon Whedon off kilter. And granted, it did, because he talked a lot about the guy before the game, and rightfully so, this future Hall of Famer. And then afterward, and questions were asked of Pat Shurmur about Reed's presence and its impact on Whedon's game. The concern, the, I'm not going to say fear, but the worry, the concern that he could throw that bad pass or have something bad happen because Reed was there and because of Reed's anticipation. I also think schematically, I don't know that he saw a lot from the Ravens that he didn't see before. There's some of that speculation, and that brought on this communication problem that was raised, the slowness with which plays were either accepted or understood by him or relayed and then dispatched and then run, that whole process, which is something that's being addressed during this bye week, as Pat Shurmur was telling us, but to streamline it. But clearly there was something in his head that just didn't go right, and for the most part, and I think he was, again, a little too fixated on certain receivers. We've seen that from time to time. I thought that was more of a problem for him in this game. So, I mean, you're right. You know, it was a poor game. You call it poor game management. I think it was poor in just about every way it could be. But I'm not ready to say that is, and you didn't say it either, but I'm, you know, there are those who would want to take that to the next level and say, well, this means, you know, he's no good. You can't have him in there. No, it's, again, one of two poor performances, really, that you could call poor out of nine for a rookie. I still say he's definitely ahead of the game in that regard. All right, we have got, coming up in a couple of minutes, a conversation with Alex Marvez. Covers the NFL for FoxSports.com. We'll dial him up down in Philly, where he's getting ready for that Fox game between the Eagles and the Cowboys. And we'll get some Browns thoughts from him as you listen to us here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Certified pre-owned Ford Fusion tonight. Sounds like you're buying a used car. No. Certified pre-owned from Liberty Ford. Big difference. Certified pre-what? With a built-in 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Certified peace of mind.
Uh-huh. And what do they charge for that?
$189 a month, and I saved about $10,000 off the cost of a new one.
Wow! Certified pre-easy!
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
In the world of B2B commerce, a lot can happen between that first B and the second. That's why First Merit Merchant Services is ready for anything. With a full range of support services from fraud monitoring to chargeback mitigation, your business can easily grow and change and grow some more. And if you sign up now, we'll waive your setup fee too. For more information, call 877-507-9007. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
The following was inspired by an actual conversation.
Hello, Arby's.
Hi, who sliced your meat today?
Doug. Why? Doug a robot?
No, Doug was not a robot.
Is non-robot Doug freshly slicing roast beef for the Arby's French dip and Swiss sandwich, and then adding melted Swiss and a cup of steaming au jus?
Yeah, actually he is.
Good. I will take human Doug over a machine any day.
Get two Arby's French dip sandwiches for just $5 at participating restaurants for a limited time. Arby's, slicing of freshness.
If you are 18 or older, join the Cleveland Browns and Chomps at Cleveland Browns Stadium to celebrate Veterans Day and to find out more about your current state of health. We invite you to attend a free family health screening provided by Men's Health Network, Boehringer Ingelheim, Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, and Cleveland Clinic, being held Saturday, November 10th at the stadium. Screenings will focus on your current heart health, and health experts will also be on hand to answer your questions. For more information and to pre-register, visit clevelandbrowns.com/screening or call 866-543-6461.
All this market volatility is really unsettling.
I don't understand how earnings can go up, but stocks go down.
I know Europe has debt issues, but I don't understand why this affects my portfolio.
I need someone to look out for my financial goals and interests.
Investing today can be complicated, but with the right partner, it doesn't have to be. I'm Brian Kurtz with Baird Wealth Management in Cleveland. Baird has guided local families and businesses through the challenges of the last decade. Our global resources and research keep the big picture in perspective, while our deep expertise in financial, tax, and estate planning ensure the advice we give is tailored to your specific needs. And because we're employee-owned, you can trust that everyone at Baird is fully invested in your success.
Discover the advantage of a financial partner with your best interests in mind. Visit BairdCleveland.com. Robert W. Baird & Company, member SIPC.
It's a Motown Thursday because my outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, makes it so. We'll have a Motown Friday, I'm sure, too. I'm Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci with you. And while I bring up the name of my outstanding producer, I want to wish him a very, and have all of you listening, wish him a very happy birthday. The dude's working on his birthday. You're very welcome, Dino. Very welcome. And very happy to spend your birthday doing the show. I know you want to be out partying, and you'll do that later, but for now, you work, as we do together. All right, Browns fans, unite. The all-new Browns Fan 4-Pack is on sale now. Starting at just $199, you get four tickets to the Browns' home matchup versus the Kansas City Chiefs on December 9th or the Washington Redskins on December 16th. Plus, your four Browns tickets include four hot dogs, four Pepsis, four game programs, and a parking pass. That's over $50 in savings. To purchase your Browns Fan 4-Pack, call Ticketmaster 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. And joining us now is a great friend and one of the best at covering the National Football League. He works for FoxSports.com, our good buddy Alex Marvez. Alex, how you doing?
Vic, great to be back on. Thanks for having me.
Well, Alex, let's talk first of all about this Browns team, and I'd like to get, we always love when national analysts weigh in on what they see here. 2-7, not the start anyone hoped for, but I guess somewhat understandable with a team this young.
Yeah, and I think just what is the frustrating part for Browns fans, and trust me, I know enough of them, is that it's been rebuilding for so long. And you get into that situation, Vic, where you wonder, when is this team really finally going to be able to turn the corner? You thought a couple of years ago with the 10-6 record under Romeo Crennel and Phil Savage that it was that time. Instead, everyone really vastly overrated how many strides the Browns had really made, and you go back to the drawing board. And I think that's maybe the biggest thing that I wonder about with 2013, a new owner and Jimmy Haslam. Does he want to go ahead and see this ship, see this rebuilding process through under the current administration, or all of a sudden do you think, maybe we have some players in place, but I want a different vision, I want a different head coach, I want something new? And I also wonder, too, how much does the fan base dictate this as well? If you're able to go ahead and lure a Bill Cowher or a big name back to the sidelines, does that make a difference when it comes to going ahead and starting a new era of Browns football, if you decide that's what you want to do? And when they say that Pat Shurmur is coaching for his job, I mean, I believe it, and it's a weird year. It's not just in Cleveland. It's in Tennessee. It's in Philadelphia. It's in Kansas City. I mean, so many spots may have head coaching vacancies. San Diego, to name a few right here. It's just been a strange year in the NFL. I feel for Pat Shurmur because he's got so much young talent, but if this team doesn't win a few more games before the end of the year, I just don't know if he's going to be able to come back.
And the thing you look at with this team, with the young talent, and I'm, you know, you bring up this point about seeing through the process of developing the young players, rebuilding with this very young group. You start with the quarterback, and I think after nine games, the jury is definitely out still, but I thought it was a little more inward, if you will, during the middle portion of these nine games. These last two have not been sterling games for Brandon Whedon, but I don't know that they reflect what he really is. I still sense that the guy who rebounded from a horrendous start against Philly in that opener and played some solid to really good games along the way, and his numbers, you know, with yardage and touchdown passes, nine TDs, but he does have the 12 interceptions. But generally speaking, I see a guy who is closer to that. What do you see?
Yeah, I like Brandon Whedon, and I think there is something there to be developed. I like him a lot more, for example, than a Blaine Gabbert in Jacksonville. And not to knock Blaine because he's had some difficult circumstances, but you know, you look at difficult circumstances, working with rookie wide receivers, working with guys who have dropped so many passes. You know, Greg Little's development has been such a disappointment. You know, the Browns probably win that game against Indianapolis if Josh Gordon can hold on to the football. You know, if Trent Richardson is healthy for an entire season, is he pushing Doug Martin for, you know, running back of the year for rookies, so to speak? Not that there is that official award, but yeah. You get my point.
You know, is he probably the best running back on your website?
Exactly. Is he the rookie running back of the year? So I do think that there's some potential there. You know, the biggest concern you have as a franchise is when you draft a first-round quarterback and you try to fool yourself into thinking he's a franchise player, because what you end up doing is wasting two or three years on a guy who doesn't end up developing, and then you're back to square one, and in the meantime, your best players have gotten 3 years older if they're even still with you by that point. I do think Brandon Whedon shows those signs, but this is in a lot of ways maybe a trial under fire for him as well, because if a new administration comes in and they think Brandon Whedon isn't the answer, I mean, Vic, you could see, I don't know about a first-round pick necessarily on a quarterback, but a second- or third-round pick, someone else to go ahead and push Brandon Whedon, or even someone that thinks that Colt McCoy might be the answer. I mean, gosh, it's an uncertain future right now in Cleveland with so much change that's going on there.
And one of the guys, though, who looks like he's got traction for, I think, years to come is Trent Richardson. We're seeing a guy who has battled through injuries, started out with the arthroscopic knee surgery that cost him the whole preseason, but has rebounded so well these last couple of weeks with sore ribs to run for back-to-back 100-yard games. I mean, that's impressive, and he seems to be, Alex, a tone setter. He seems to be the guy who wants to lead as much as anyone on this football team.
He finally got the Jim Brown seal of approval, right?
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Fortunately, we can close that ugly chapter in Brown's history. But no, and I think Trent, you know, he cares. And this game, it's interesting. You look at a guy like Dez Bryant, and it's a cliche, right? Football means something to somebody. And what I think people mean by that is, okay, it's one thing to have the trappings of being a great NFL player, and there are certain guys that have the type of athletic ability that they're going to be able to compensate for maybe not putting their all in when it comes to studying the playbook and maybe not even taking care of your body properly, things like that. I don't get that sense with Trent Richardson. I think that he cares, and I think that he wants to go ahead and set a legacy. I think that it, in some ways, maybe you look back and what Jim Brown said back around draft time will provide motivation throughout his career to always keep that in the back of his head. You know, just like how Aaron Rodgers has a rejection letter from Purdue that right. He keeps nearby whenever he wants to hear about whether or not he could make it in the NFL. It motivates him. I feel that same way with Trent, and I do think that this guy in time is going to be an outstanding running back. Just makes you wonder, too, by the way, could he become the next Adrian Peterson if Pat Shurmur and Brad Childress are both back in 2013 and able to implement more of this offense?
Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Alex, let's take a swing around the National Football League. You are on the line with us from Philadelphia. You're down there for Fox Sports America's game package, Cowboys at Eagles. Obviously a big NFC East showdown, but the bigger, and they're both big stories with these teams. Let's start with the Eagles and the future of Andy Reid, which is kind of a daily question, the future of Michael Vick at quarterback. Give us a sense of what's happening there.
Dark days for both. You know, I think the big difference, and I'll get to the Cowboys in a minute, but one of the things that you think between these two franchises is, okay, when it comes to Philadelphia, if Andy Reid is finally ousted as head coach after 14 years, after being unable to take this team to a Super Bowl victory, although he did get him to the big game back in 2004, I think you look at the fact there will be wholesale changes in Philadelphia, starting with Michael Vick at quarterback and working their way on down. It would be a whole new regime, a whole new era for the Philadelphia Eagles. When I go to Dallas and I hang out in that locker room, it's like Groundhog Day every day. You wake up and it's still Jerry Jones as the general manager owner. It's still a 500 caliber team. It's still Tony Romo being guaranteed a starting spot, even though there's a lot of questions about whether or not this guy can lead a team to playoff success. So I think that's maybe the big thing here in Philadelphia. People just you look at the offensive line, four or five starters entering the season are out. They cannot protect Michael Vick adequately. Michael Vick may be out of the lineup anyway because he might get just hit to the point that Nick Foles has to play as a rookie. But it has been such a tough go here as well, the firing of Juan Castillo, a defensive coordinator. They're still in it, technically at 3-5, but this team is going to have to get super, super hot to be a playoff team. And right now, Vic, I just don't see it.
There's a question out there about, I hear this almost, if not daily, certainly weekly, about who the best team is in the NFL, and a lot of debate over exactly who that is. Just no real core belief that the unbeaten Atlanta Falcons should be considered that team. A lot of people looked at Houston for a while, and there's still, yeah, there's some people who think they're really good, but not sure, and maybe no one in the AFC gets that kind of love. The Giants and 49ers get mentioned by some. Where do you weigh in on all this, Alex, and tell me why we don't have that definitive team, even if the Falcons are undefeated?
You know, it's great. I mean, I think it is really interesting that there is no dominant team this year. You know, I think one of the reasons is that the Falcons, even though they're 8-0, beside that victory in San Diego, they just haven't really had that signature win where they just go ahead and absolutely blow out the opposition. You know, like the way New England was doing it a couple of years ago, beating up on Tennessee and Washington, putting up more than 50 points on the scoreboard and humiliating those squads. Atlanta has squeaked by in so many games that I think people realize that the parity this year is just, it's like it hasn't been in so long. I mean, you even think back a couple years ago, Tennessee starting the season undefeated and looking pretty darn solid and into a 13-3 year. Then they lose their first playoff game. Green Bay's hot start last year. Everyone thought they were just going to march into the Super Bowl. It said they lose in the first round of the playoffs. So I think this year, though, more than it has in a long time, that the talent is equal across the board. And a team that you didn't mention that I know that was probably just an oversight, but Chicago now has to really be considered among maybe the NFL's best teams. That's why I'm so fired up about Sunday night's game between the Texans and Chicago, because this really could be a precursor to Super Bowl 47.
Yeah, you mentioned the Bears, and it's right. That right there, the fact that I didn't bring them up is reflective of what we're talking about, that you that these teams are distant from the mind, and as much as I do respect what the Bears do defensively and forcing turnovers, all that other stuff, and Jay Cutler, I know, has the passing, and Brandon Marshall receiving, and then the Denver Broncos, another team I didn't bring up, but the whole Peyton Manning revival. But I don't know. Isn't there still that thing that tells you maybe, maybe not, with these teams?
You're so right. And then, you know, what I'm trying to figure out here too, Vic, is who gets hot in the second half of the season? You know, when you look at, you know, and that's really where the Super Bowl champion comes from. I mean, you look at the Giants. I mean, this was around a 500 team. They could have very easily been out of the playoffs last year. They would have been with a Week 17 loss to the Dallas Cowboys, and said they get hot at the right time and they make that run. I'm trying to see who in the second half of the season all of a sudden is going to start surpassing maybe the Minnesota Vikings of the world. You know, teams that started fast but then fade quickly. Is it Detroit that has won two straight games and finally put together a complete outing last week against Jacksonville? Is it Tampa Bay that seems to have caught lightning in a bottle with Doug Martin doing a great job and Josh Freeman really feeling comfortable in that offense? On the AFC side, I've been trying to figure out who can get hot there, and it's a lot more difficult to pick a team you feel good about, although maybe San Diego has seen the worst. I mean, you're still going to get Fire Norv trending on Twitter each time that they lose, but nonetheless, maybe this team can put together a run to get a wild card. Maybe Philip Rivers can get back on track, but I'm trying to figure out, Vic, myself, who is that team in the AFC that says, wow, you know what, they're starting to play some good football. Maybe it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe they're the ones.
And of the quarterbacks, of the rookie quarterbacks especially, but the young quarterbacks in general, who really are you believing in? Are you fully sold and bought into what Andrew Luck has done with this Colts team, and can you see that gaining a lot of traction? And Robert Griffin III, there was a whole lot of excitement there. That seems to be tempered a little bit lately. But, you know, in general, Alex, what are you seeing of these younger guys, and who do you think has the traction that can really make the impact this year, be the playoff team this year with one of those young people under center?
You know, I'm going to go with Seattle. I just think that, and then that has to do with supporting cats as much as anything. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, you see a Ryan Tannehill right now. I mean, he just doesn't have guys to throw to that are an elite level. He doesn't have a deep threat that he can go ahead and play with. You know, Andrew Luck, eventually, I think the lack of a running game is going to hurt the Indianapolis Colts. But right now, I give him a ton of credit because he has carried that offense. He plays just like we thought he would. You know, we kept saying this is the most pro-ready quarterback since Peyton Manning in 1998. And ironically enough, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, the exact same number of passing yards and the exact same record at this point of the season, which is just one eerie coincidence. But when it comes to Seattle and Russell Wilson, I see a guy who's getting better each week. I see a guy who can make plays with his legs. I see Marshawn Lynch supporting him in the backfield. And I look at a very stingy defense and an incredible home field advantage. I think that the Seahawks are a team that will make the postseason, and I think they will do it with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
He is Alex Marvez, one of the very best in this business, joining us here, and we appreciate your time, and we look forward to talking with you down the road, Alex.
Sounds great, Vic. Thank you, brother.
All right. Much more is coming up. Alex from FoxSports.com. More is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I really need a new car.
Oh, no.
Well, mine's only a two-seater, and I have three kids.
Are you sure that's a good reason?
Pretty sure.
But all the numbers, the decisions, the agony.
Not at Liberty Ford. I get top dollar for my trade-in, and right now I can lease the all-new 2013 Escape for only $249 a month.
Well, that's just too easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
visit Quaker Steak & Lube in Valley View, Sheffield, Lakewood, or Vermilion to make your reservations for the Thanksgiving buffet. Enjoy all of your holiday favorites on Thursday, November 22nd from 11:30 to 5 p.m., including chef-carved turkey, ham, roast beef, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and much more. And from noon to 9 p.m. from November 19th through the 21st, buy one gift card and get the second half off.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your ways. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
If you need a good lawyer, listen up. Use mine, Russo Rosalina. Hi, gang. Riz here for Russo Rosalina, general practice family law firm. Joe, Gabriella, and Basil have been doing it for years. Two locations, too. East Side, Richmond Town Square. West Side, Parmatown on Ridge. If you suffered a loss of a loved one, Russo Rosalina can handle the estate for you. Injuries, divorce, bankruptcy, wills, they do it. Go to RRLPA.com. That's RRLPA.com, Russo Rosalina.
If you're hosting an event this football season, then you need Hughes Event Production Services. Hughes Event Production Services is the area's largest rental and staging company. Whether it's a TV for your watch party, a stage for your tailgate concert, or anything in between, Hughes can get you what you need for your event. ESPN Cleveland uses Hughes, and so should you. So get to Hughes for your event needs today. For more information, call 216-361-4600 or go to Hughes.com.
Gillingham Ford celebrating 55 years in the car business, and they want to continue creating the best car buying experience in Northeast Ohio. They'll make your next new car purchase fair, open, and honest. They guarantee it. Ford provides the best U.S.-made products on the road, like the all-new 2013 Ford Escape and the 2013 Ford Fusion. Gillingham provides the very best deals. Get your next car based on your needs, not what some dealer has the most of. Let Gillingham Ford put you in that new Ford today. Check them out. BobGillinghamFord.com. Gillingham.com. Stop in and see why Gillingham is truly the home of the real deal. 8383 Brook Park Road in Parma. That's between Ridge and Tiedemann off I-480. Whether you're West Sider, East Sider, Gillingham Ford always going to be on your side. Stop, call, or find them on the web. You'll see why Gillingham Ford is truly home of the real deal. And congratulations, Gillingham Ford, celebrating 55 years in business and in the community. Gillingham Ford.
Hi, this is Muhammad Masquerade, and you're listening to the Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Appreciate the fact that you're hanging out with us on this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're going to hear from Ole Miss shortly, but ladies, enjoy a night out with the Cleveland Browns and get a behind-the-scenes look inside the team. Expand your football knowledge at Ladies Chalk Talk with an evening full of special appearances, lectures, cocktails, appetizers, giveaways, and more. That's on Monday, November 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. Believe me, this is a lot of fun at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Sign up today for Ladies Chalk Talk by visiting clevelandbrowns.com. Our own Jameer Howerton, you know what he does a few times a week, sits down with a key Browns player, and today he checks in with, in this bye week, with wide receiver Mo Mass, Muhammad Masakwad. Take it away, Jameer.
Thanks, Vic. Mo, a very challenging couple of weeks for you as you battle back, but overall, how are you feeling?
Getting better. This bye week couldn't have come at a better time just to give myself a chance to rest and approach the second half of the season and come back strong.
How did it feel to be out there this past Sunday battling with your teammates?
Felt great. We didn't get the outcome that we wanted to, but just to be back out there on the field, you know, reacclimated to running around and just bending the game setting, I think it's going to be great for the second half of the season.
Seeing the way this offense has performed over the course of 9 weeks, what have been your thoughts on the way Josh Gordon and Greg Little have developed?
Great. It's a lot of potential. A lot of potential. And if everybody just keeps striving for it, you know, sky's the limit really for this group. So we just have to keep setting the foundation so that when we do go into those stretches where the games are close, we can come out with a better outcome.
Quarterback Brandon Weeden and running back Trent Richardson, what have been your thoughts of these two young men?
They're special. Trent is everything is advertised. Likewise, Brandon, think you see guys playing beyond their years. Trent's going to be a great player for a long time. Brandon's going to develop, and he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion.
And as you guys head into the bye week, you actually hit the field for some practice. What did you guys work on from an offensive standpoint?
Just tuning up the little kinky, you know, mishaps that we have from time to time. Just making things a little bit crisper so the execution is a lot better when we come back.
And for yourself, what plans for the bye week?
Just a rest. Rest, get the body tuned, get a little treatment on my nicks and bruises just so when I come back I don't have anything lingering or bothering me.
And just overall, talk about the mindset that as you guys head into the 7 weeks, what's going to be the main focus?
Win. To win, do everything that we need to do to win. Scratch, claw, fight, you know, so we get those little gritty wins that we haven't been getting over the past couple of weeks.
Well, Mo, enjoy your bye week, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sue.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, thank you, Jameer, and thank you, Muhammad, for weighing in. Some thoughts from a veteran receiver on the bye week, and that's what it's about, and especially for him, just get healthy. Get people ready. I think of Mo Mass. I think of Trent Richardson. How important this bye week is for those particular players. For the entire team, though, because lots of bumps and you name it, aches and pains that come from 9 weeks of playing ball. All right, we have got much more for you. Going to crunch some numbers and talk about this team at the midseason point with our good buddy Matt Florjancic, ClevelandBrowns.com staff writer. That's coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as you listen to us here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
My certified pre-owned Ford Fusion tonight.
Sounds like you're buying a used car.
No, certified pre-owned from Liberty Ford. Big difference.
Certified pre-what?
With a built-in 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, certified peace of mind.
Uh-huh. And what do they charge for that?
$189 a month, and I saved about $10,000 off the cost of a new one.
Wow! Certified pre-easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Visit
Quaker Steak and Lube in Valley View, Sheffield, Lakewood, or Vermilion to make your reservations for the Thanksgiving buffet. Enjoy all of your holiday favorites on Thursday, November 22nd from 11:30 to 5 p.m., including chef-carved turkey, ham, roast beef, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and much more. And from noon to 9 p.m. from November 19th through the 21st, buy one gift card and get the second half off.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere, and Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Good night, my love. Ah, this has been one great day with you. And a great night. So much fun. I can't wait until we're together again. I long to hold you in my hands, to touch you, and feel the power you have over my very soul. I love you.
Really? Do you have to say that every time you put the Mustang in the garage?
Sorry, hon.
Seriously.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Mick Carucci with you to the very top of this hour, as we are 5 days a week here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, the Cleveland Browns invite you to attend, that's pretty important, a free family health screening provided by Men's Health Network, Boehringer Ingelheim, Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, and Cleveland Clinic, being held at Cleveland Browns Stadium. That's on Saturday, November 10th. Take advantage of this. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/screening for more details. Joined now by clevelandbrowns.com staff writer Matt Florjancic. When we bring Matty in the house, we usually like to talk about numbers. And Matt, through this first half of the season, through the first nine games, some interesting ones to talk about. And I like starting right here with the offensive line, because this group is always best when we don't talk about them. And for the most part, the pass protection has been pretty good, according to the stats.
Yeah, when you look at it, they've only allowed 14 sacks for 83 lost yards this year. It's on pace for just about 28 sacks, which would be the lowest for the team since the 2008 season.
That's good.
And they're tied for the sixth lowest in terms of sacks allowed in the entire NFL. Over the last six games, Brandon Whedon has been sacked only six times. So that really shows you that the guys up front are doing their job. And they've had a little bit of turmoil, too, up front, losing Jason Pinkston for the year and having to insert John Greco into the lineup.
And having a rookie starter at right tackle in Mitchell Schwartz, which I think, you know, between what you just described and that, really makes this stat that much more impressive.
When you look at what Mitchell's done over the last few weeks, a lot of questions haven't been asked of him or of the coaches about him, which is a good thing. And they'll tell you that when they're not getting asked about a rookie offensive lineman or an offensive lineman in general, it usually means that they're doing their job.
Right.
And Schwartz is one of the several rookies that the Browns have relied on this year. Both he, Billy Winn, and Brandon Whedon have all started every game, and they've accounted for a bulk of the starts that the offense has made.
Yeah.
And rookies in general have started 49 games for the Browns this year combined among all of them, so they're doing the job.
Which can you know, give you the simple explanation of why the team's 2-7, because if you got too many young people starting, generally that
you're going to take your lumps
to losses. But another stat is turnovers, and we've talked repeatedly on how this team, as young as it is, any team, young or old, cannot afford to make those mistakes. But I think particularly one that is as close to the margin as this one when it comes to games that it has to play as flawlessly as possible. And for a good chunk of time, the Browns had been doing a decent amount of avoidance of turnovers.
Yeah, when you look at it, and they went through a meat grinder in terms of who they played in the month of October, played some really good defenses in the Colts, the Giants, and then the Ravens in the first week of November, and they had a 15-quarter streak of no turnovers that Kerry Williams of the Ravens took care of and put an end to with an interception of quarterback Brandon Whedon. And it really goes to show you that the offense is making progress in that area. When you can go nearly four full games without a turnover, that's a good sign for your offense. You never want to have a streak like that broken, but now you start a new one and you try to better yourself as the season goes on. A
couple of numbers that we like about Brandon Whedon is the fact that he's thrown for 2,088 yards, which is the third most by a rookie in the first nine games of a season, and that's all time.
That's all time, yeah. He's ahead of Peyton Manning on that list.
And several rookies, of course, are making that list because of the nature of this season, Andrew Luck and RG3. But the other number that's decent here, too, is nine touchdown passes in the nine games.
Yeah, it has been really aided by the development of Josh Gordon, too.
Yeah.
Those two have started to really develop a chemistry together, and Whedon sees them downfield and is hooked up with them four times for touchdowns. Brandon is good at distributing the football, and he's good at involving a lot of people. There have been every running back on the roster, every tight end on the roster, every wide receiver on the roster has been the target of several passes and has several receptions on the year. So it shows you that Whedon's using his options on offense, using his weapons, and trying to better the team by spreading the ball around.
The number, of course, that he's got to work on is the 12 interceptions. And, you know, you just made the point, going those 15 quarters without a turnover was great, and it gets snapped by that interception by Kerry Williams in the Ravens game. But in general, and I know of those 12 interceptions, four came in one game, that season opener against Philadelphia. But in general, that's something he's continually got to work on, is taking better care of the football.
Yeah, without question. Anytime you put the ball in the hands of a quarterback, the first thing you tell him is, you know, keep a hold of it. Don't turn it over. And, you know, there was a spurt there where Brandon was extremely good at not turning the football over. And if you take the first game out of the season, you take the last game out of the first half of the season, and Brandon's thrown for nine touchdowns, and he's only thrown seven interceptions. So six interceptions. So, you know, he's definitely had a really good run in the middle part of the first half of the season. You're looking for that type of development coming out in the last seven games of the year. And the one thing I noticed that in his press conference this week, he was upset at himself for not making enough plays, especially when the Browns went into the red zone. They went 0-for-5 in the red zone. Phil Dawson kicked five of those field goals against the Ravens. But, you know, this is a young man who works at his craft. He gets better. He really takes a lot of time to study the film, and that's one thing that's going to be really good for the Browns going in the future.
The only thing I got to call you out on is you just called him a young man. He's older than you. just for the record.
Not by much. Not by much. We're only separated by a couple of days.
Matt Florjancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. Just kidding here. But Trent Richardson, when we look at his season so far, 575 yards and five touchdowns on 152 carries for a guy who missed the entire preseason after that arthroscopic knee surgery, for a guy who's dealt with sore ribs for and is and probably will for the foreseeable future, because I don't think that's something that necessarily goes away too quickly, unfortunately. Good solid production.
Yeah, when you look at what he's been able to do, it's been phenomenal. And when you consider all the facts that you just mentioned, it's even more phenomenal. He's second in the league among first-year players with 36 points scored. He has 31 receptions, which is second in the NFL among rookies as well. Third in scrimmage yards, third in first downs, third in rushing, seventh in receiving yards.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's brought in to run the football. Yeah, he can catch it too. He's pretty darn good at catching the ball out of the backfield. That's a definite good sign for this Browns offense. You brought him in here to be the workhorse back for your team. And when healthy and when on the field, he has shown that he can be just that.
The guy who has made a splash, and you mentioned him obviously in reference to Brandon Whedon's numbers, is Josh Gordon, who's, we keep saying, amazing upside, but it really is because of what his physical skill is, and I think I appreciate it even more when I've seen it on the practice field, the things that he does that a guy his size shouldn't be able to do, run as fast as he is, jump as high as he does, and all of those things translate so well to games where you start seeing now, what, in these last four games or so, Matt, some traction where he's getting it and understanding it and doing the right things, and the numbers are bearing that out.
Yeah, over the last 5 weeks, he has 316 yards and four touchdowns on just 12 catches. This is a guy who, I don't care what the clock says and what the stopwatch says, he's football fast. I don't know, his 40 time wasn't that good in his workout, wasn't as good as he wanted to, but when he gets out on the field, he doesn't slow down. If anything, he speeds up. We've seen guys that can run a 4.3 flat, and when they put pads on, all of a sudden they're running like 4.5s.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon is a guy that can separate with his speed. He's good enough to separate, and if he has to go up in traffic, he's got the body size to win a jump ball if need be over a defensive back, and that's why his numbers have really skyrocketed. Rocketed since that early part of the year, did not have an off season at all, was brought in here January 12th with a supplemental pick, and had to learn the offense over the first...
July, but that's right, yeah.
And he really had to learn the offense from scratch.
Yeah.
In training camp on the fly, like every other rookie did last year with the lockout. So you're talking about a guy who really has developed, and he's going to continue to be a prominent weapon in this Browns offense.
One guy, talk about guys who don't slow down, how about DeQuell Jackson? I mean, he is remarkable and the constant force, leading the team with 70 tackles. And at that middle linebacker position, you tend to be involved in those plays. But I do see a guy who's doing much more than just catching people upfield. A lot of these stops are at or near the line of scrimmage, in the hole. He's making meaningful plays.
Yes, he is. He has 3 sacks on the year, which is a half sack off of his career best that he set last year. He has an interception return for a touchdown. He has another interception that he attained. This guy is playing extremely well at a high level, and he's not the typical guy that gets a contract in the offseason and then relaxes. If anything, he's working harder now that he has that contract.
Definitely.
Because he wants to be a part of a winning tradition here in Cleveland. He's been on the wrong side of things for a very long time, and he wants to right that ship, and he wants to be a part of the solution to the problem. And when you're talking about a leader among men, DeQuell Jackson definitely ranks up there as one of the best. And when the Browns switched to a 4-3 defense 2 years ago, everybody says this defense was tailor-made for a guy like DeQuell Jackson. He went out, proved it last year, had the second most tackles in the NFL, and he's on pace for another 100-tackle season this year.
And we could make this whole segment about Phil Dawson. We could make almost any segment about him statistically. But 23 consecutive field goal attempts, which dates that he's made, dating back to last year, that's the longest active streak in the league.
Yeah, he came into the week against the Ravens second with the second longest active streak, and then he made 5 straight against Baltimore, and that put him in first place so far. It's the second longest streak of his career. He's now 17-17 on the season, 9 of 9 from 40 or more yards. He already has 4 made field goals from 50-plus. He had 3 against the Ravens in Baltimore back in September. Phil just keeps getting better with age. He's eighth all time in NFL history with an 84.0 field goal percentage. He's made 293 in his career. This guy is going to be, you know, special for a long time.
Yeah.
As long as he plays, he's going to be special. And you can definitely think that by the time he's all said and done with his Cleveland Browns career, that there might be a spot in the Browns Legend Club and on the Ring of Honor for him.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I don't even know what to do as not only as someone who watches the team, and you think about the team itself, but the day that Phil Dawson's not kicking for the Browns is the day that I can't even envision
in my head.
I don't want to fathom. He's such a fixture for the right reasons, because he's unbelievably great.
And more importantly, he's a student of the game. He's always been that way. He goes out ahead of time. He works with Reggie Hodges, his holder, and Christian Yount, his long snapper. He tries to get a feel on the weather conditions. He could probably give you a better forecast than any local weatherman, because Phil Dawson studies this religiously, and that's a reason why he can kick in 40-degree weather with an insane amount of snow coming down
and
a bunch of wind and rain. And Anytime you have a bad weather kick that you need to be made, Phil Dawson's your guy.
That's why he's the perfect guy for the Cleveland Browns. Matt, you're the perfect guy for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the time, Vic.
He is Matt Florjancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I really need a new car.
Oh, no! Why?
Well, mine's only a two-seater, and I have three kids.
Are you sure that's a good reason?
Pretty sure.
But all the numbers, the decisions, the agony!
Not at Liberty Ford. I get top dollar for my trade-in, and right now I can lease the all-new 2013 Escape for only $249 a month.
Well, that's just too easy!
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
The following was inspired by an actual conversation.
Hello, Arby's.
Hi, who sliced your meat today?
Doug. Why?
Is Doug a robot?
No, Doug's not a robot.
Is non-robot Doug freshly slicing roast beef for the Arby's French dip and Swiss sandwich, and then adding melted Swiss and a cup of steaming au jus?
yeah, actually he is.
Good. I will take human Doug over a machine any day.
Get two Arby's French dip sandwiches for just $5 at participating restaurants for a limited time. Arby's, slicing up freshness.
Did you know that a sneeze can linger in the air for hours? Now, trying to avoid breathing in the germs of that sneeze can be like playing a full regulation game plus overtime all on defense. Exhausting. Discount Drug Mart and Halo want to keep you on the offensive this season. Halo is the first ever oral antiseptic that kills airborne germs you breathe in. Just three sprays in the back of your mouth can protect you for up to 6 hours. Pick up Halo at your local Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. For more information, visit halogermdefense.com.
We hear it every day. American companies moving manufacturing jobs overseas to find cheaper labor and thereby cut their costs. As a result, consumers are forced to decide if they are willing and able to pay more for the better quality American-made product. This is Ron Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory, and when it comes to mattresses, the choice is easy. At Original Mattress, we build our products in our own local factories using American-made materials. We continue to make two-sided mattresses built with top-quality American-made innersprings, cotton padding, and real working box springs. As a result, our craftsmanship and quality is second to none, and our price is hundreds of dollars less than the national brands. Because when you buy an Original Mattress, you are buying it direct from our factory, thereby eliminating middleman costs and markups. So visit Original Mattress today and buy an American-made product that is built right and built to last. Or check us out on the web at originalmattress.com.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. Alarm Force has the best value for all of your home security needs. Only Alarm Force has no charge live two-way voice with every alarm system. Installation, activation, and warranty are also no charge and only $25 a month for monitoring. Call Alarm Force today.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
All season long, come watch the Ohio State Buckeyes at Panini's. We want you to join us for an Ohio State watch party during every Buckeyes game. Each week, starting 30 minutes before kickoff, the ESPN Cleveland Street Team will be at two Panini's locations, Panini's West Park and Panini's Strongsville. Register to win for two tickets to see Ohio State's 2013 home opener. Watch Ohio State at Panini's West Park and Panini's Strongsville all season long with ESPN Cleveland.
PJ's Pizza, Final Four Taste finalist in the Plain Dealer Pizza Playoffs, wants you on their team. PJ's offers a wide variety of fresh pizza, wings, and more, including PJ's award-winning potato pierogi pizza. PJ's and ESPN Cleveland want to treat you and your staff to a pizza party. Listen to WKNR Friday during lunch in the morning for the cue to call and win a pizza party for you and your staff delivered by lunch.
Yeah!
Call 440-885-4355 to order PJ's today. PJ's Pizza on Ridge Road in Parma. Any way you slice it, it's the best pizza around.
Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Great tunes, great Motown tunes from our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, the birthday boy. If you see Dave around today, tonight, well, I guess tonight, or tomorrow, make sure you wish him a happy birthday. All right. We have got to give you some of your feedback that you've given us. Questions, comments that you submit to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages and email via daily@clevelandbrowns.com. Nostra Douglas from Twitter. He's responding to a column I wrote. I'm in the midst of a series of blogs that I'm doing for clevelandbrowns.com, the midseason position-by-position thoughts. And I've now covered so far quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and offensive line. Tomorrow will be the D-line, and then we'll pick up the series again on Monday. What standard stuff for half season, but you are break point by point. Anyway, I wrote about Brandon Whedon. I talked about the arm, the strength, the ability that he has to make those big plays. Nostra Douglas from Twitter says, you, meaning me, drank the Kool-Aid on Whedon. Having a strong arm does not make a quarterback good. He references Scott Mitchell, Jamarcus Russell as two strong-armed quarterbacks who haven't been good or weren't good in their careers. And he says Whedon is not good. Further, in a separate tweet, he says that Whedon has better wide receivers, tailback, and line than Colt McCoy did, and he's less effective. Why? Well, let's take point one. Drank the Kool-Aid. There was no Kool-Aid to drink. It was watching him extensively from his very first off-season practice through the last time, I guess, he's tossed the football out in Berea. Or I think he might not have thrown one this week. So, you know, last time he... this week, yeah. All right, I want to just get my before the bye. And his last game, and studying him, and, you know, watching tape, and talking to a lot of folks, not just in the building, but outside the building, around the league, about him. I can tell you that what I'm seeing and what I commented on, and I made the point, and I've said it on this show, and said it, we've said it all week, with regard to Whedon, that he's had two, and I wrote this too, he's had his two worst games, Eagles and second Ravens game. And the last two games he's had have not been good. Dealt with that weather, but I don't just dismiss the weather. I think he's got to get a handle on that, and quickly, if you're going to play quarterback for the Browns. That can never be used as, well, it was the bad weather. And there are folks who will want to give him a pass for that. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. But I believe in him. I believe in his ability, and it's not just the arm strength. That isn't what's sold me. That's part of it. But I think there's accuracy with that. I think there's the technique, the way he delivers the football, and the God-given gifts that he has with that. And I think mechanically it's all sound. And then I think what he's doing from a perspective of learning as a rookie is coming along well. More good games than bad, but I want this recent trend to reverse itself soon. And I said earlier in my conversation with Alex Marvez on the show, jury's still out. And it has to be out with the new administration. They have to know, new owner, new CEO, have to know what they have in Brandon Whedon, the rookie they've inherited halfway through this thing. So they're going to see what these seven games are about to determine if indeed there is a high pick coming the Browns' way at the end of the year, and we'll see how this all plays out, what to do with that. Is there a quarterback in the equation? Do they have an entirely different thought about it? And that's all possible. But for now, I think he's done enough to show he's not only worth watching the rest of the year as the starter, but that he could have traction to be the long-term guy. And with regard to the inevitable Colt would be better comments, yes, better receiver and certainly a better running back. Better receivers, but more definitely one guy in particular, Josh Gordon. But less effective? I'm not buying that. I think there are things he's doing that Colt didn't do. And that's not to denigrate Colt McCoy. They're just different quarterbacks. But I think there's more that this guy is able to do. And Brian from email has similar points to Nostra Douglas and Twitter, saying he thinks people are giving too much credit to Whedon based on one or two stats, and he uses the McCoy comparison. I know people won't get off that until we see what the inevitable outcome is with Whedon in longer term, but let's let that play out. I don't think it's a debate. I really still don't think it's a debate. He needs to turn it around, but I don't think it's a debate. Evan from Facebook, he says, I want to see a big tight end to use a lot. Someone like Rob Gronkowski. I know we would never get him, but someone that size of him and a big receiver who has hands, we need offense. Well, I think the big receiver who has hands is named Josh Gordon. And I do think, as far as the tight end position, finding another Gronk, yeah, they're not easily found. He's a rare, rare talent. All right, we want to thank Alex Marvez and want to thank Mo Massaqua, and we want to thank Jameer Howerton and Matt Florjancic. Want to thank Drew Boatner and Joe Meadows. And I want to thank my outstanding producer and, again, the birthday boy, Dave DiNatale. We will talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.